For most people, if deadlines pile up, emails accumulate, family duties escalate, then the cookie jar starts to beckon. New research shows the sugar siren's call is more than just poor willpower. A University of Florida study has found that stress not only causes a desire to eat, but that extra fat can keep the body's stress response from shutting off. Before spiraling too far down the food abyss, our guest today says in her new book, Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed, and offers common sense strategies for ending food obsessions. She's a certified health coach and a healthy living strategist and founder of Healthy, Happy, and Hip, which provides one-on-one coaching, workshops, retreats, and support groups for clients. And in her new book that we're going to talk about today, she provides tools to help highly successful superwomen slow down, chill out, and develop a better relationship with food and feel great. Lisa, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
What's a superwoman?
Ooh, what a great question. A superwoman is a woman that she may work outside of the home, she may work in the home, but she just never stops doing. She is working for either her employer, for herself, for her family. Her to-do list is nonstop, and she just doesn't feel like she can take a break because there is just endless work to be done.
What percentage of the women out there are superwomen?
I think many, many women are superwomen. You know, the women that I meet, they are working, they're raising kids, they're taking care of their parents, they're trying to get a good meal on the table, they're volunteering in their communities, and then they're still paying bills, they're trying to get to the gym, they're trying to do all the things that everyone's doing, and it's just so much responsibility on their shoulders, and many, many, many of the women that I meet fall into this category.
What is the relationship between being a superwoman and being a perfectionist?
I think that there, in some cases, there is a relationship that we feel we have to be the perfect everything. We have to be the perfect wife and the perfect mother and the perfect everything in our life. And so that definitely is for some superwomen. But for other superwomen, even without the perfectionist, it's just the reality of their lives that whether they wanted to do all these roles or not, they ended up doing these roles. And so for some, they've abandoned the concept of perfectionism, and they're probably way healthier than the others. But for the ones that are still stuck in that perfectionism, it is just so much pressure to do everything so well and to look so good, and it really is just never ending.
This superwoman complex that you described, it's got to be stressful, right?
It's very, very, very stressful, and as a reformed superwoman, I can personally attest that one of the biggest issues I had was this fear of letting other people know that I didn't have it all together. We look at other women and we compare ourselves and we go, well, how come she has it all together? How come she looks like she's got it all figured out? And on the outside, I was one of those women people would look at and think I had it together. But on the inside, I really didn't. And I felt like I didn't have the confidence to let people know what I was really going through.
Well, I've been doing addiction work for 30 plus years, and I have determined that addiction is caused by low self-esteem and lack of consciousness. Talking about low self-esteem, you might on the outside appear to have a very high self-esteem, but inside you're beating yourself up because you don't think that you're worthwhile. Is that the way that you thought about things?
That's absolutely how I feel about things. I think that we get caught up in the I'm not good enough stuff, and that comes from, you know, our childhoods, and no matter how much we accomplish in our lives, if we have that under, you know, that feeling underneath that I'm not good enough, no matter of success is ever going to take that away until you really address that underlying cause of what's going on with you.
Right.
So I think that so many of the same issues that people have with food are the same issues that they have with other addictions, only food is something that we have to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a daily part of our lives.
What if you came to the truth of the matter, which is the only purpose of food is to stay alive?
Well, I think that that's true for some people, but I think for many people, food is so much more. And I think that if we go back in history a little bit, for women in particularly, we were always the ones who traditionally had to buy the food, prepare the food, think about the food, make the lunches, pack the snacks, you know, wrap up the leftovers, plan the menus, plan the parties. We are always around food. So naturally, we're thinking about food more. And food has become a source of pleasure for us. Since we're working so hard, we're running around, we're not taking breaks, suddenly food has become, oh, I can go take a 5-minute coffee break and have a snack. It becomes this little pleasure in our day that's socially acceptable. And so I think food is so much more than just fuel to so many of us.
Yeah, well, if you were an alcoholic, you would think, alcohol is a real pleasure to me. It's not as socially acceptable as food, but it still has bad side effects. Like when you have a food addiction, your bad side effects might be obesity and all the health problems that causes, which is getting to be a real problem in society, perhaps as bad as drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, and all the other obsessions.
Absolutely. And I think one tricky thing, though, with food is that we do have to eat. We don't have to drink alcohol. We don't have to smoke cigarettes, but we do have to eat. So we have to take food and look at it, break it down, and say there are some types of foods that are good for us, and there's other types of foods that are not serving us well. And this is exactly what I try to help people to do in the book, is say that let's take the time and figure out which foods are going to make me feel good and make me healthy and which foods are not serving me, and then come up with strategies to either avoid or minimize those foods in your life. But it is hard because, as I said, we do have to eat multiple times per day, and people are grabbing. They're making bad choices because they're just running around so fast without taking a moment to breathe and go, what's really going to give me the nutrition and the pleasure and everything to make my body thrive, not so that I go down a bad path and beat myself up and feel crappy.
Well, when we're talking about the relationship between food addiction, food and addiction, we could also talk about the relationship between a specific type of food and addiction, and that is sugar. And nobody has to eat sugar, do they?
No. Well, nobody has to eat refined sugar, and technically nobody has to eat sugar, but there are natural sugars in fruits and even some vegetables, and so certain types of sugar are highly avoidable, and I think that's the area that's the problem. When we think about the cakes and the cookies and the ice cream, and now we're finding sugar in everything from bread to salad dressing to salsa to foods that we never even imagined. And that's where a lot of our problems have really started with the sugar addiction.
Right. Lisa, do women think about food the way men think about sex?
I think that some women do. And I think that, as I said before, food has become a form of pleasure for so many women, because not only are we making the food and buying the food, but food is very glorified right now. We have cooking shows on every channel that make food look delicious. and we have cookbooks on the top of the bestseller with gorgeous photographs of food. And then when we go to social media, there's unbelievable pictures of food everywhere. And this is food ranging from kale chips to snickerdoodle brownies to sushi burritos, food, 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 food. And so we're looking at food, we're wanting to eat food, we're thinking about food more than ever before. And so, yes, I think that some women are thinking about food all day long. Not necessarily even eating it all day long, but we're thinking about it. And that's where that comparison comes
from. So, is what you're saying is that men are thinking about sex all day long?
Well, that's what I've heard.
Okay. Let's see here. You've written this book. It's called Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed. You're Lisa Newton, or Newtan. Where do they get that book, Lisa?
They get that book on Amazon.com.
Okay. Do you have a website, and would you like people to come to that?
I do. My website is healthyhappyandhip.com. And if they come to my website, they can actually get a free chapter in my book and see if they like it.
Well, that's great. That's great. Okay. In your book, you give the reader tools to help identify the symptoms that trigger an eat fest. What are some of those symptoms?
Well, I first think you have to take a little pause and say, what's really going on here? And am I really even hungry to begin with? And you start asking yourself some questions. When did I last eat? What did I eat? What's going on? And then we start going a little bit deeper and saying, what am I really feeling right now? Am I sad? Am I lonely? Am I bored? Am I anxious? Am I happy? What's really happening to me right now that is making me want to eat everything in sight? And I can start asking myself some questions about, if I do start eating this food, will I be able to stop? And I'll give you an example. People will tell you, oh, have a piece of dark chocolate every day. Well, for some people that's great, but for other people, they're going to keep going back and eat the whole bar. And it's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's knowing yourself and not beating yourself up, but just saying, I'm the kind of person, which I am, that would keep going back for more. And so I might not want to take that first bite. But until I can pause and have this little conversation with myself, I'm not going to have the consciousness to make that right decision.
That sounds like the dialogue of an alcoholic who can't take that first drink because he can't stop after the first drink.
I think it's very similar. I think it's a chemical reaction in your body, and it's not a question of willpower. This is a question of how our bodies are functioning. And with some, one person can take a glass of wine and it's no big deal, and another person can't. And it's the same thing with sugar. It's the same thing with bread. It's the same thing with pasta. There's so many foods that can be trigger foods. And again, not good or bad, just know yourself. And if you are that person, stay away from it.
Do you believe in affirmations?
It's going to be the same story. I'm sorry.
Do you believe in affirmations?
I do believe in affirmations.
What if you affirmed and said over and over again until your brain picked up on it, I eat when I'm hungry? Would that help?
I think it might help. And so I think that my philosophy is give it a try. It certainly can't hurt. And everything is an experiment here. And so I like to offer people a platter of suggestions and say, try this. Give it a try and see how it works for you. And give it enough of a try to test it out, like an experiment. And so I like people to take this approach like they're a detective of their own body. And they put on their detective cap and say, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to try affirmations and see if this works. And for some people, yes, it will. And for others, it might not.
Right. Also, in your book, you talk about determining what food affects one's moods, energy, and health. Do different foods do that?
Absolutely. And the way that I recommend people figure this out is to remove these foods, a certain bunch of foods, which I'll mention in a minute, for about a week, see that you're feeling different, and then bring them back in one at a time so you can pinpoint the effects. And some of the foods that I have found really impact people are sugar, dairy, gluten, soy, and alcohol. I give as a separate category. And it's amazing. I've had so many people go through this program, and even in a week's time of getting a food out of their body, they feel so different. And suddenly cravings start going away, aches and pains can start going away, bloating. Everybody's different, but everybody has amazing reactions. And then when you bring these foods back, you can figure out which food caused what, and then you have the power to make a decision and say, if I eat this, I will feel this. Am I willing to do that?
Right.
Most people want to feel good. You know, most people will start veering towards feeling good and eating healthier because it feels good, not because somebody said that's what you have to eat and you can't eat that, because that doesn't work. When we get into the can'ts and the can'ts, we want to feel great. We want to thrive.
Yeah, a lot of people use food to feel good. Comfort foods, that's what they call it. And when they're unhappy or when they're sad or whatever, they go right to trying to feel good through foods.
Absolutely. I think that food has a way of being whatever you want it to be. Like, food will be your best friend. It will be your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your confidant. Whatever you need food to be, food will say, here I am, you know, I'm ready. And so we use food for so much more than just fueling our bodies.
You said earlier that you need to tap into finding out what you're really hungry for. Is that a question that everybody should ask themselves whenever they get ready to eat? What am I really hungry for?
Yes, because so many times the answer is not food at all. Sometimes you're really hungry for a nap, or you're really hungry for a hug, or you're hungry for creativity, or for fresh air. And so when you really start listening to, you know, inside, you'll start going, wow, I have been using food because it's there, not because it's what I really want and what I'm really hungry for. So I think that's a really important point.
We're talking today with Lisa Lutan. Her book is called Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed. And Lisa, you're going to tell us again where to buy it and what your website is.
Yes, you can find my book on Amazon.com, Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed. My website is www.healthyhappyandhip.com. And if you visit my website, you can sign up and get a free chapter to the book and get a little sneak peek and see if you like it.
Well, that's really great. It's always good to preview things and find out if it's a good fit for you. Now, getting back to things that we were talking about before, another thing that you give readers tools for in your book is to practice eating mindfully to become satisfied instead of stuffed. I know if I were to go to a buffet and I was going to try to get good value of it, when I came away from that buffet, I would be stuffed and I would be guilt-ridden. And yet, you know, so many people do that all the time.
It's so true. They do that. They also eat in the car. They eat in front of the computer or while reading a book. They're not focusing on their food and on their eating experience. And so some of the first steps to just eating mindfully are sit down and look at your food. Actually acknowledge that this is food that you're eating and be grateful for this food, that it got there to your plate and all the people that were involved in getting it to your plate. And then really taste your food and go, is this crunchy? Is it creamy? What do I even like about this food? And then, you know, taking that mindfulness out a layer, who am I eating with? And am I eating alone? And if I'm eating alone, am I really in this experience by myself? And am I enjoying this meal? And if I'm with other people, am I looking at them? Are they looking at me? Because that's nourishing as well. We all want to be seen. We all want to be heard. And by really noticing the people and really listening and paying attention, that's a beautiful experience. And again, that's very nourishing in the same way. So I like to look at that mindful experience as a very broad meaning. And I think that's a way of living your life, really being present with what you're doing.
I believe that it is really great when you sit down to eat that you talk to your food and say, I am really grateful that I have you to eat today, and I'm going to enjoy it so much because, and various things like you just said. I just think that it's not good to say it out loud because people might think that you were very strange, but but saying
unless you're eating alone, then it's nice to say it out loud.
Yeah, but saying it in your mind, in your head, is really good for you. Okay, let's talk about you need to give your body a tune-up after a period of unhealthy eating. What about that?
Well, that's what I referred to before, is sometimes when you feel like you've been down a really bad spiral, like after the holidays and or after a vacation, a really quick way to just get back on track is to take out those foods that I mentioned, dairy, soy, sugar, alcohol, and gluten. And just even after about 3 days, you're going to feel like a whole new person. And when I advise people to take these foods out, I'm not telling them this is the way I recommend they live. This is solely an exercise to determine how these foods affect you. Many people do decide after doing it that, oh, I feel so much better not eating that food or that food. And then they choose to make changes based on that. But it gives you a quick, like a kickstart. For me personally, I found that when I removed sugar from my life, it had crazy impact on my life. I started worrying less. The things I worried about actually changed. My overall all my anxiety went away. It was just such an unbelievable change that every time I would start eating a little more, it would be such a reminder that this isn't something that is good for me or is a treat. This is something that's really dangerous for me personally, and it's in my best interest to severely limit it.
You know, I was thinking, when you go into the grocery store, they position sugar in the forms of cookies and cakes and all this in a very way that's going to make you just absolutely want to take them home. But you need to understand that anything that you put in your cart and you take home, sooner or later you're going to eat. And so I think that's where it starts, is knowing that these kind of foods are not good for you, and don't put them in your cart.
I think that's really important, and I think we also have to be aware that you go to the drugstore and there's an entire counter, we know, of candy, right, when you're paying. You go to the airport and you have 50 different pastries available to you and a couple of little salads, and you go to the supermarket and, you know, there's Halloween candy and Easter candy and Valentine's candy. Like, there's just always something right there saying, pick me, pick me, pick me, and it's really hard. But the good news is, with sugar, very quickly after getting it out of your body for a short time, we move from the I can't have it to the I don't even want it. And then it becomes easy to say no. But while you're eating it all the time, it's virtually impossible to say no. I just think having that type of willpower is like a superhero.
Absolutely.
For most of us, it's really, really hard to resist when we're, I call it, in the sugar zone.
Right. Well, I got through most of your important points, but another one is that you need to understand how to clear the mind and restore the body through meditation. Now, since we're not going to have enough time to talk about that, they'll have to buy your book to find out about meditation. But I've got 45 seconds left, and the most important thing in this interview is to ask you about your purpose, your mission in life.
I love this question. My purpose and mission in life is to help others thrive, and in doing so, I myself will thrive too. And so I help people understand that they are good enough, that the answers are inside of them if they take the time to find out, and that they deserve to feel wonderful.
Lisa Nutan, Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed, pick up a copy. It's a great book. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the program today.
And thanks again for having me.